Baie welkom hier by Saap Gaan Bos vanoggend op hierdie woensdagoggend.
Hey, en ons gaan lekker bos vanoggend gaan.
En ons gaan gesels met Duncan McKenzie. Hy sal bekend aan jou op 100.5 ons het so ek terug ook met hom gesels. Volgens die onderwerp baie interessant.
En die lekker ding is, jy kan met Duncan gesels so enige ding.
Ja, hy weet alles van alles.
Hy is 'n lopende biblioteek.
Morning, Duncan.
Hi, Duncan.
Good morning, folks. It's very nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being back.
This morning we talk about something else. Well, I couldn't wait. This morning, just after 6, I said, listen, you need to stay tuned because today we're going to talk aloes. And aloes in the Lowveld, especially. So I think we should start because there's a couple of questions. What is the significance of the aloe plant in its natural ecosystem?
Okay. If anybody's been to, let's say, Kaapse Hoop in the last week or two, would have noticed the incredible display of aloes on those little walks around the village. And in this sort of very dry winter months, we find that food is quite scarce for a lot of, for example, birds like sunbirds and weavers and orioles. And aloes provide necessary food in very dry times. They are leaf succulents. Most aloes are leaf succulents. So they're able to store water, and thereby they can grow in areas where other plants would struggle. So, and by storing water, they're able to flower in times of the year that are very dry. So they provide very important food, nectar, for nectar feeders in winter.
What are the main threats to the survival of the aloe plant?
For many years, I would say probably even 100 years ago, because of our high aloe diversity, they come in all shapes and sizes from tiny, sort of 10 centimeters high with grass-like leaves, to trees, for example, the big tree aloe. So because of their diversity, people have been collecting aloes and to put in their gardens to grow. And it's almost like a collectible, like a cycad almost. And unfortunately, that has put tremendous strain on some of the aloes that we have, but also monocultures, afforestation has contributed to the decline of some of our aloes.
So there are actually aloes in our immediate sort of where we're staying that are endangered, is that correct?
Yeah, correct. In particular, between Nelspruit and Sarby, there's a particular aloe called Aloe simii, or Sims aloe, and unfortunately, it's now only known from a handful of localities.
Sure.
The type locality, in other words, where it was discovered, was in Brondal. It's the first place it was ever discovered, and unfortunately the plants are no longer at the type locality. So that's just one of many of our aloes that are on what we call the red data list, the list of threatened or near-threatened plant species.
So let me just get this straight. You know, if we're staying in the Lowveld, we're thinking aloes is something that grows everywhere. You see them everywhere. Everybody knows you can literally take a piece of an aloe and put it in the ground somewhere else and it'll probably grow. Or take out aloe plants, like you've just mentioned, to sort of further your own garden at home. So that is not, if I understand you correctly, advisable.
It's also not sustainable. So we're already putting tremendous pressure on some of our populations of aloe. So populations that we knew about a few years ago are now gone because of people digging them out. And there's other factors as well. Recently we found a population of aloes that were decimated by porcupines, for example.
Okay.
So we remove the predator of the porcupine, and then their growth, their numbers increase to the point where they struggle to find food, and then they eat, for example, eat aloes. But aloes are very popular, they're collectible, but they are also protected by law. In Mpumalanga, all aloes are protected, and in Limpopo province, most aloes are protected. So it's actually illegal to remove aloes from the natural vegetation.
You're not allowed.
Because they
also make their own little babies, obviously, okay? Mm. So then you would think, taking two or three of the babies, there's so many, and taking them home. It's illegal. You're not allowed.
It's illegal and unsustainable.
Okay.
So there are a lot of localities where are well known for certain aloes, and if everybody goes there and picks one little one, then there won't be any left.
So you disturb the natural habitat of it. I mean, by taking it out, it's like, hey.
Yeah, yeah. It puts a lot of pressure on them, and you'll find a lot of our aloe species are on the red list, not only because of collectors. As I said, habitat transformation is also a big problem.
Talking about different species of aloes, there are different variants of aloes and different...
It's such a lovely controversial topic, is aloe taxonomy, you know, which species. And if you ask now, how many species of aloe are there in the world? The answer would be depends on who you ask. Because various authors, various taxonomists... apply various principles to differentiating between aloes. But there are probably between 550 and 650 species in the world, and they range from Cape Point all the way up through Africa, Madagascar, and then up to the Middle East, especially Arabia. And the highest diversity of aloes in the world, the highest concentration, highest density of aloe species is here between in Nelspruit and, for example, Steelpoort, Burgersfort. It's the highest density of species. There's about 80 species just in that particular geographical region. So, and in the whole of Mpumalanga and Limpopo, you're probably looking at about 100 species. So a lot of diversity.
And obviously traditional medicinal uses associated with the aloes also is a threat.
Not really. If you look at the species that are being used, it's aloe vera, which is the most famous aloe, which is the one used in lotions and potions and things like that.
Yeah.
I think it's been cultivated for so long, I don't even think people know where it originally came from anymore.
Mm.
But that's widely cultivated in horticulture, but also commercial production of aloe vera. We've got two other aloes that are used widely in eastern South Africa. The one is the bitter aloe, Aloe ferox, which is mostly in the Eastern Cape, and that the leaves are cut, placed in a circle, the sap is drained, and the sap is then, it forms crystals, and that's boxed and sold commercially.
Okay.
But that's sustainable, because you're only cutting the leaves, you're not cutting the crown, so the leaves regrow. And that bitter aloe, those crystals are used for various ailments.
It's like a blackish.
It's a very dark crystallized sap. The other aloe that is used, the desiccated leaves, the old leaves that are hanging on the plant, is Aloe molothi, the mountain aloe.
Mm.
And I know, for example, in Zululand, the desiccated leaves are crushed finely and used as a substitute for snuff.
But
those two aloes, ferox and molothi, are abundant. They really are. They occur in very big numbers, and they are harvested sustainably.
Mm. Just before we move on to the other questions, I just want to ask something from a point of somebody just not knowing and wondering, and I'm sure there's lots of other people. If you have aloes in your garden, how much? But is there a difference? Do some aloes need more water than others, or can you just basically leave all of them
for
whenever it rains?
And what type of soil does it like?
Yes.
Despite the fact that they are succulents, they have various differing requirements. So some aloes grow in cracks, in rocks, on cliffs, for example, where the soil moisture content is quite high all year round, and you've got lots of mist. So those particular kinds of aloes don't do well in a horticultural environment.
Okay.
Where some aloes, for example, the mountain aloe, the tall aloe that we see, if you drive up in the Schoeman's Kloof, there's tens of thousands of them.
Mm.
That's incredibly hardy and can be grown in a garden environment. As we mentioned, the benefit of growing aloes in your garden is that they are water-wise plants, and in normal circumstances would not require any additional watering other than the rainfall that we receive. It's the sourcing of the aloes for your garden. So I would strongly suggest is that we either propagate aloes at home. For example, many aloes like Aloe chibordi, which is a common low-felt aloe, make suckers. And you can split those suckers forever, basically, and give your friend 10, and next year give another friend 10, and so spread them. Or buy them from sort of ethically sourced nurseries where they're actually growing them from seed, or purchasing them from nurseries that are growing them from seeds or cuttings, for example.
Okay. Right.
I think Kirstenbosch Botanical Gardens got a section for succulents, which also include aloes.
They've got that conservatory,
yes,
which is just mind-blowing. I just love going in there. And they've got succulents there from all over Southern Africa, including Namibia. So Namibia's got several very rare aloes that are desert adapted. And yeah, growing a desert adapted plant in a Nelspruit garden is not going to work. Even if you're able to source them ethically, for example, from seed, you'd need cover. You'd need to build a roof or something over them to prevent them from rotting. They do rot.
Yep, yep. Very interesting. Tell me, what is there any research projects ongoing at the moment concerning aloes in the Lowveld?
We don't have particular research programs. Some species are highlighted. For example, Aloe Simiae, the Sims aloe. So if there are any localities for them, we tend to give those localities over to the Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency because they've got a database that they keep of these threatened plants. And that helps for future developments. If there's a development in a particular farm or farm portion and the localities in their database, we then are equipped to assist the developer with a correct siting of their development around these plants and then produce a management plan for them. But we don't have any specific conservation programs other than the Botanical SANBI, the Botanical Institute. They have an ongoing assessment of all plants, including aloes, including their red data, their conservation status.
Just in layman's terms, the aloe Sims that you're referring to, what is it called in layman's terms?
So,
which one is it, in other words? That's what I wanted to know.
So most aloe enthusiasts will use the scientific name for aloes. Some people will know all of the names, and it's impressive. But in horticultural terms, then you'll find a few more common names, some mountain aloe and Crance aloe and things like that. But generally speaking, most people just use the scientific names for aloes.
For it.
I think there's just so many that finding out an English name for all of them is probably
it's
not
almost
as
impossible.
Easy. Having said that, there are various forms of aloes. There's some that are stemless, some that are tree-like, some that are grass-like, some that have got spots in the leaves, some that are tiny and grown cliffs. So there's all these different varieties of aloe, and they don't all even look like aloes. So some of them you struggle to think, is this an aloe? And some have been put into new genera because they are just a little bit different. But generally speaking, the term aloe refers to all of those.
How can individuals contribute to the conservation of aloe, especially in the Lowveld?
I think the first step would be not to pull over on the side of the road and haul them out the veld, or when you're visiting your mate's farm, hauling them out. That's probably the first step, is just enjoying them where they are. But there are some conservation programs. For example, the Sims aloe, which is one of these spotted leafed aloes. I know that Uplands have a conservation program running with germinating them and replanting them. They've got a lovely wetland below the school, and they've planted a lot. And those plants are self-seeding, which is great. So there are things you can do, but not formally. There's no sort of formal conservation projects. If you happen to find an interesting sort of aloe, you can approach the MTPA and give them the localities of these rare aloes. And all this, the conservation statuses, in other words, if the plant is endangered or vulnerable, that's all published online on SANBI's red list website. Yes.
Okay, all right. Sure, that's very interesting. I actually really never knew that there were so many different varieties of aloes, and that I see aloes differently now, because it's not just, that they're everywhere. So having spoken to you now, suddenly you realize that it's not a question, because they're everywhere and they're frequently found next to the road, that you can just take them.
Yeah. Yeah, they are everywhere. They occur in most habitats, except probably rainforest. We don't have many patches of rainforest. So they're incredibly adapted to the environment. Unfortunately, many of our aloes are impossible to name without a flower. they look at it. So there's little low growing spotted leafed, which we call the maculate aloes. They're virtually impossible to separate from each other. So you don't always know what you're looking at, but then we can use other factors like geography, location, soil type, to help us put the clues together to see what it is. But unfortunately, many of the aloes also grade. So so from one form to the next, you get intermediate forms and they hybridize, and it's a taxonomist's nightmare. But that's what makes them so interesting from a taxonomic perspective.
Yeah. So there's no specific way to identify an aloe. Can I say it's a plant that retains water in its leaves, or not necessarily?
I know there's definite ways in which we can classify the aloe. So it belongs to a family called Asphodelaceae, and that particular family has mostly leaf succulents, have a particular shaped flower, and then seed capsules that split and release these tiny little black seeds. So they are, you can definitely classify aloes, but some of the aloes, to separate the different species out, can be very tricky without flowers.
Wow, Duncan. Unfortunately, you're going to be out of town for a while now. So, but once you're back, we'd love to have you back in studio.
We would love to say hello again to you.
It would be good, yes.
Thank you for joining us, and thanks for all the information you gave us.
You're very welcome, and enjoy our diversity.
Absolutely. Thank you, Duncan.